Let's pray for the firemen here this morning. And also, I think I forgot to pray for Greta and Daniel. I think that was one of their prayer concerns. So let's pray for them as well. Father, we lift up Daniel and Greta. We know that they've been struggling with different sicknesses and illnesses and Lyme disease. And so we just pray, Father, your healing hand upon both of them. They're not feeling well this morning. We just pray that, again, that you would touch them. Be with Kathy. She's home with them. And also, Father, we ask that you be with the firemen as they're gathering this morning to go out and serve the community. We pray for their safety. We pray you would watch over them and be with them as they travel there. Whether it's an accident or a fire, we just pray that they would feel your presence and that you would keep them safe this morning. In your name we pray, amen. This morning, we have Dan and not Candace. Candace couldn't be here, but Dan and Candace are missionaries that we support. They work through a program called Disciple Makers, and Dan's going to be sharing a little bit about what God's doing through the organization and through their lives this morning. So it's good to have you here, brother.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Good morning. I do have to admit that me, Scott, and Josh went out disc golfing yesterday, and Scott absolutely crushed us. I don't know how he did it. I think he's juicing or something. We got to figure that out. But yeah, he beat us pretty good. I just thought I'd, when Scott asked me to come, he said, could you share a little bit of a personal update how you're doing? So I thought I'd start. I will talk about the campuses, but I really want to share with you how I'm doing, how the Lord's working in my life, and how you can be praying for me. To be honest, this has been one of the hardest years of my life so far. You know, 5 years ago, lost my dad, been through some pretty bad breakups, but for some reason, this year has really stretched me. A few years back, I was at a Christian conference, and someone was sharing about conflict in relationships, and they made the quote that kind of stuck with me. They said, if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be a Christian. And at the time, I was like, I don't believe that. I was like, you must be feeling pretty negative. But I think I've actually found that to be a kind of a true statement that, man, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, there'd be a lot of different reasons to leave the church, to leave the faith. This year particularly, I had a pretty difficult relational conflict. So when I became a Christian, there was a mentor in my life who really came in. And I mean, he showed me the gospel, taught me how to be a disciple. But this year, for some reason, 8 years into our relationship, we really started to struggle. I felt like, there were some things in his life that I had to talk to him about, confront him about, and it really kickstarted a difficult time in our relationship. In fact, that the relationship really isn't existent anymore. So here's this man, the man who led me to Jesus Christ, and we're no longer friends. And that has been the most challenging thing that has rocked my faith. And as I've been understanding it, I think what can happen in Christianity is we can build our faith centered around a person rather than Christ. And if your faith, if our faith is reliant on a human being, it is only a matter of time that we're going to be disappointed. And I've been challenged, I think it's in Matthew 7, where Jesus says, build your foundation on me. Build your foundation on the word of God. All else will wash away, right? The firm foundation. And I think in all of this, the real positive thing is that I'm learning that my foundation can really only be on Jesus Christ. And that's a really, really good thing. Another thing that's been difficult that you can be praying for is my family. So growing up, I have three older sisters. The oldest one's 18 years older. All three of them, while I was a child, went through divorces, which was a really difficult time. And then a few years ago, I felt like when my father had passed away, there was almost this like kind of felt like a revival in our family. People started going back to church. Things became things seemed like in my family like it was like, man, like we're going back to the Lord. But this year alone, two of my sisters have gone through their second divorces this year. And it's just, it's just painful. Divorce the first time around was difficult, and it's just as difficult the second time around. And it really, it saddens me. I think it's a picture, it's also a reminder, a picture of just like the brokenness of the world. And it's been hard. It's been hard to walk my family through that, particularly when Christ isn't involved. It's hard to even have. I was talking with my my brother, the other month, and we were talking about like what is love, like what's the meaning of love, and I remember him telling me he's like Dan, like when that feeling goes away for that person, like I'm gone, like that's like I don't love them anymore. And I'm just like, whoa, like that is a scary reality for relationships when the feelings that you have for a person disappears, that the relationship does as well. And I think that's kind of the mentality that has gone on in my family. And, you know, by God's grace, like, he's actually exposed some of that, you know, in my own heart, my own marriage. Like, am I just going to be a good husband when things are going well and we are really feeling passionate for each other? Like, is that the only time I'm going to be a good husband? So I think the Lord, I really echo our time in Romans this morning, where Paul says, rejoice, rejoice always. There's always, in all of this and everything happening, there is always reason to rejoice in the Lord. And he's teaching us so much through this. So if you could just be, I'll share some more prayers then. But if you could be praying for us, pray for me as I hold fast to the Lord and not human relationships. Pray that I would do that. Pray for my family. Pray that the Lord, you know, would use this to revive their hearts towards him. I'm so much reminded of, like, you know, the Israelites in the Old Testament. You know, they return to the Lord, and then they disappear, and they turn away from the Lord, and they turn back to him. Just that pattern. Pray that my family's hearts would change for good, that they would love Jesus Christ with all their hearts. Pray that for us. So as hard as a year it's been, it's really been a good year for us as well. My wife Candace, man, last time I was here, she was finishing up nursing school. About a year ago, she finished up, and she's been able to work part-time at St. Luke's in Allentown. So we just rejoice that God has given us this venue for Candace to work, as well as do ministry. This is also our first year in ministry together. So for the first 2 years of our marriage, my wife was still in school, and I was doing ministry, and we often felt disjointed. But this is the first year that we were actually able to minister together on the campus. So it was a really good year as well. I feel like God always, he gives us hardships, but he also gives us reasons to rejoice at the same time. And I've really felt that. I've really felt that this year. As far as ministry is concerned, so I serve at Lafayette College in Easton, Pennsylvania. And things are looking really good. So we even, there was a summer interest form sent out. And there were 48 college freshmen who signed up to be part of our group this coming fall, which is really an amazing thing. Like, don't we often, we look at the campus, and it's so easy to have a pessimistic view. Like, oh, the college campus, where people go to fall away from God and to drink and to have sex. But really, like, man, God is doing good things on the campus. There's already 48 freshmen who the first thing they want to do when they get to campus is get involved with a Christian community. So we're excited about that. We have 16 student leaders who are going to participate in our leadership team this year, meaning they're going to be leading Bible studies in their dorms on the campuses, which is really exciting. That's really the vision of our ministry, Disciple Makers, is equipping students, equipping young people to minister the gospel to their college. So we have 16 students doing that. We have, at Lafayette College, we have an exciting community in outreach prepared for the fall. So in Lafayette College, it's known that it's an expensive school. It's known as like where the top 1% of the wealth, where their kids go to Lafayette College. And then down the hill, though, in Easton, you have one of the poorest communities. It's called the West Ward. What we're actually seeing is there's increasingly opportunities for our fellowship, the students, to actually go downtown and be involved with the community. We're going to be having 6 or 7 students in the fall mentor young kids in this impoverished community through schooling. They're going to help them with their homework and stuff. Every week, they're going to be down at the community center investing in these kids who seemingly have no hope. So we're excited to be involved more in the community. Like I said, it's just such a contrast. You have all this wealth on College Hill, it's called, where Lafayette is, and then down the hill, there's nothing. So we're bridging the gap between that. We had our, the other week, we had our leadership team together at Lafayette. And our vision this year, as we talked with the students, our vision this year is to make a culture of discipleship on the campus. And what that means is we have quite a bit of students involved with our group. But we realize if our group just kind of stays as this large event, it'll lack disciple making. So our students, what we want to see happen this year is that we want to see these sophomore and juniors in high school, we want to start to see them starting to go out and do the work of ministry. We want to see them, help them lead Bible studies on the campus, get together with incoming freshmen. I mean, think about it. You have 18-year-old kids coming to college, a blank slate in front of them, and they're trying to decide who they want to be in life. And we want to see our students show these freshmen that the gospel is everything, that living for Christ is everything. So our goal this year, you can be praying for us, is that we won't just be a large group, a large community of people, but we would be a community that sends disciples out into the world, particularly after they graduate. So that's what's happened at Lafayette. I also work at DeSales University. It's about a half hour away. Primarily, I think it's 60% Catholic. We are just gaining traction there. You know, a lot of it's amazing. So many people, you know, you think campus ministry, you just kind of walk onto a campus and start preaching, but it really doesn't work like that. The first few years, it's really building relationships with the administration. When we were first at DeSales, we had to meet in a church down the road. You know, we weren't even allowed on the campus. And just this, the past year, we actually are given permission as a group to hold Bible studies on the campus. So a lot of our work at DeSales has been the planting, meeting people in the administration, meeting students, and we're praying that the group starts to gain traction this year with Bible studies, with our large group meetings where we preach the gospel. So you'd be praying for DeSales, pray that that students would come out to hear the gospel, would want to get involved with Bible studies at DeSales. I thought I'd I asked Scott if it was okay. I'd love to answer any questions anyone has about disciple makers, about anything, about my life, my wife, whatever it is. I thought it might be good for things to be a little more interactive. So are there any questions about our ministry, how things work? Anything like that? Yeah. Yeah, so the big thing we focus on is the first 2 weeks of campus. What they say is that in the first 2 weeks, a college freshman figures out who they're going to be friends with and what groups they're going to be part of the next 4 years. So we are, like, the first 2 weeks are just crazy. We're doing, we stand outside the cafeteria, inviting people to our large group, inviting people to our Bible studies. We'll have a meet and greet the first week at Lafayette, inviting students out, play volleyball and stuff. So the first 2 weeks we find are just so key to build relationships. And hopefully that comes through a lot of our student leaders just inviting their friends and classmates out to our different events. And the relationships kind of get built there. We're highly dependent on the students being the one building relationships with others. And it's kind of how momentum gets started. You know, if you go out on the campus and just walk around and try to meet people, you're gonna be the weird person, right? But if you can create a group of people who love each other and are inviting other people into that group, things will start to grow. So we really key in on the first 2 weeks, inviting people out to things or different events and large group meetings. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah.
How about gender? Are women more responsive to your ministry?
I think so. Like, women are more mature than men. So, I feel like, you know, it's just a true thing. So they're often coming in. I'd say more women come in seeking Christian community than guys. But to be honest, I mean, I would say our fellowship is 60-40 women to men. So God is at work amongst the men. They're a little hard, you know. There's a saying we have, like, it's a little bit harder to win men to the gospel, but it's part of what we do, cast a vision. Yeah.
What kind of activities do you have
to attract people? You want to attract people who are not Christian, but probably they're not being. Running to go to your meeting, you have to have something to attract. Yeah, and that's like the balance. We talk about that a lot, is how do we want to attract people? Because the one thing you don't want to do is we try to avoid in disciple makers being a gimmick ministry or a switch and bait. Like, oh, you can win $100 if you sign up for a group. And then you have all these people who sign up for the group, but really then they get invited to a Bible study and it's like, what are you talking about? I wanted to win $100. So we try and be careful not to be too gimmicky. Like, we want to be pretty straightforward. Like, hey, we're inviting you to a Bible study. So a lot of what we do is geared towards Bible study or situations where we're preaching the gospel. But yeah, the first 2 weeks we're having, we have an ice cream party planned the first week, and that's we hope everyone comes out, non-Christians, Christians. But we hope that really bridges the gap then to more intentional types of ministry, you know, ministry situations. So we'll have, the first few weeks we'll have volleyball set up, spike ball set up. We're out in the quad meeting all the people we can. We hope, our goal is that no one at Lafayette College doesn't hear about the group about Bible study, about the gospel. We want to come in contact somehow with every single person. So, yeah.
You get good support from the college professors for your discipleship?
No. Lafayette College is, what should we say? It's kind of a, I think the mentality is kind of like everyone's way is the right way. And I think the hard thing, not the hard thing, the true thing about Christianity is we're saying that the way is Christ. Like the way to God is through Jesus Christ. That's an offensive statement to a campus that is built around the culture of everyone's okay and everyone's way is okay. And now there's exceptions. There's a Christian. I was just thinking, I don't actually think I know a Christian professor, but there are Christians who work in the advertisement department. That's the advisor for our group, and he's a Christian. His wife's a Christian, so there are definitely Christian faculty, but from the professors, it's hard. It's really hard, and that's a lot of what we're fighting against. The pushback we get is the exclusiveness of Christ is a difficult on the campus is a hard thing to swallow often. So, yeah. 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 The path is narrow, so it's always, you always will lose some. What's interesting, I think we graduated this year. We had 8 seniors. We had 8 seniors graduate that were with us off that we brought up front. Right, these people have been here all 4 years. Now I don't know if their freshman year, if there were 48 people. What you tend to find on campus ministry is as you gain momentum as a group. As the culture becomes more solidified, often there will be a higher success rate. And now it's all in the hands of the Lord, and He could of those 48, 0 could be there their senior year. I hope all 48 are there, and it ends up being all of the Lord. But what we do find, I think that things at Lafayette are growing where we're retaining more people each year, like each class will graduate larger. And it's all the Lord's work, but what He's using is He's using a mature group of believers to do that. And that often sustains more people, yeah.
What's the size of the class?
The size of the class? So Lafayette is 2,500, and so I'm not good at math, like 700, 800. I think DeSales is bigger. I think they're at 5,000. The school is 5,000, so over 1,000 freshmen. Yeah. Yeah. Gives me a passion for campus ministry. I think it's what I said that. For me, when I went away to East Stroudsburg University and like so lost in my sin, and I got invited out to hear the gospel, and it transformed my life. And I think the campus is just it's an amazing ministry grounds. You have, like I said, you have these kids trying to figure out like their identity, who they are, and just the opportunity we have to intersect in their life at that point. And how many of them from that point forward, they get to decide you know, who they want to be. You know, it's great when someone, when anyone comes to Christ, but there's a certain, when you're 50 years old, you come to Christ, you have your life kind of figured out and set out. We're working with kids who, they can go across the world, be missionaries across the world, and we see it. So I think it's the, what has driven me has been the opportunity that there is, as well as what is increasingly coming to my heart is at Lafayette, I think it's about 10% international. So when we talk about as Christians, like we don't just want to reach the U.S. We want to reach all of the nations. How do we do that? Well, all of the nations are sending their top students to the U.S. for school. So it's like, here we are. We have, I mean, it's just reality. There's a lot of, here we have a lot of wealthy international students coming in, the leaders of their countries. You know, my college roommate, his dad was the CEO of IBM in Tunisia. So it's like, these people are coming here, and I think it's the opportunity, like, our motto really is, when you reach the campus, you reach the world. Because what they do is they come, and then they go back. They go back to their countries. So I think the campus is really a, if you're looking to fulfill the Great Commission, go make disciples of all nations, it's all, you know, it's all right there. So I think increasingly the Lord is helping me, see that as well. Yeah. So, disciple makers, a man worked with, his name's Bill Drips. He worked at Penn State. He was with Navigators. And his, kind of the thing, what he started to see is that these bigger campus ministries, so you have Crew, Navigators, they all tend to go to the big schools. So you have Penn State, University, and that's good. There's a lot of students there, so there's a lot of opportunity for ministry. But what he started to see in Pennsylvania is that a lot of your state schools, private schools, didn't have anything on them. So these national ministries were on the bigger campuses. So he started to target, his vision was to kind of target state schools. So we started off, headquarters are in, he stayed in Penn State. We started sending people to Kutztown, East Stroudsburg University, Bloomsburg, and then from there, things kind of started to expand to even more private schools. So yeah, that's kind of how he, that's kind of how it came about. And also with, you know, I think one of the unique things about disciple makers is, I think the focus on disciple making, and I think for him, he felt that there was an opportunity to create a ministry that really focused on equipping students for the work of ministry, and it not just being the social, the fun social event or the way you meet, you know, other Christians in school, but actually equipping students and sending them out from college. I think that was part of his heart and his desire. And other ministries certainly do that, but he wanted to focus in on that. So, yeah. Yeah.
You work hand in hand with Campus Crusade for Christ.
So, yeah, so that's like I said, Campus Crusade, they're at Lehigh University, so a little bigger of a school. They're not at Lafayette. So, I have not at East. They're not at East Stroudsburg where I was, and they're also not at DeSales. So I've actually never, I've never worked alongside an individual there. Our ministry does, like at Penn. We do have a ministry at Penn State, and I mean they got everything there: InterVarsity, Navigators, Disciple Makers, Campus Crusade for Christ, and. What's the saying is the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. I think it's often viewed not as like a competition type of thing, but hey, we have all these, the more laborers, the better. And often what happens on these campuses, there's niches that can form. So you'll have some ministries that really do a good job with the international students. Like Penn State could have its own international student ministry. So on these campuses, the different ministers that are there will often find their own niche. That's how I understand how it works at Penn State, where there are multiple. Yeah. Any other, probably a few more questions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think our prayer is often is that young people would be saved from their sin, and we see what college can be. You know, we live in a community with where college students live. We're a block away from the college, and we see every day, not just every weekend, the effects that sin has on people. And we also see the other side, where how beautiful redemption is, and how beautiful it is when Christ changes someone. And I think that's the thing our students, what we think about and pray about. You know, you walk onto the campus and you see all these people, and it is, you look at the lost, like sheep without a shepherd. So I think that's primarily kind of what we pray for. I think we also pray that we would have co-laborers, that from the students who are there, you know, it's just not us giving sermons, not just us leading the Bible studies, but we pray that students would come along beside us and actually help us do that. You know, one person can only reach a community so much. You need people around you. So we pray that leaders are raised in our group. Those are probably two, like, when we get together with our students and we're praying for for the start of the semester, pleading to God that people would be saved from their sin. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe one more. Or no more. Scott, that's your call. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. It's good to hear what God's doing. But we want to pray for the ministry. We want to pray for Dan, and Candace isn't here, but we'll pray for her as well. So we just ask if you want to come up and gather around, we'll lay hands on Dan, and I ask Glenn if he would close us in prayer then.